Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Yesterday morning at the 8 o'clock, I shared a word that the Lord gave me about daring to believe, to see Him doing things with the young people on Sunday evening, saying that, well, that's not only a word for the young people, it's not only a word for Sunday evening, it's a word to all of us, really. What we dare to see God doing. Later yesterday morning, we had a trustees meeting, and it was actually a very good trustees meeting, and our accountant says we should tell the church just what a great thing God has done in recent months in turning the finances around and how so much better the finances are now than they were this time last year. So we praise God for that. But after the sort of the business side of the meeting, we were sitting around having some sandwiches for lunch before the trustees went on their journeys home. And while we were doing this, we were sort of trading stories of great things that God, we are seeing God doing at present. And Pastor Benkt, who is now one of the trustees, is always a fund of stories, isn't it? Things just seem to follow that guy wherever he goes. But he was saying that this past weekend he's been in Denmark, and he was with a pastor there who has begun to see the power of God released in his ministry in a new way, and many wonderful miracles and healings happening. And this is in a sort of small country like Denmark, and it has a population of a few million. This is sort of big news and has created a lot of media interest. And so one of the television companies decided to sort of make an investigative film about this, and a journalist was assigned to spend 3 days with this pastor, and he said, I'm going to follow you everywhere you go and look at everything you do. So he comes to the first meeting, and the pastor says to this journalist, you're preaching. Now, this man is not even a Christian, you see, and he says, but I'm not a preacher. He said, well, if you are going to investigate what I'm doing, I want you to see what it's like from my perspective in what I'm doing. And the only way you can tell that is by doing it yourself. Here is the parable of the prodigal son. You're to read that and then preach on it for 20 minutes. So this journalist did that and then sort of turned to the pastor and said, well, what do I do now? He said, well, after I preach, I have an invitation for salvation. So now you are to invite people to come forward and be saved. And although he was not a believer himself, several people came forward and were saved. And so then the pastor said to him, now you heal the sick. And this woman came forward in a wheelchair. I can't remember what exactly was wrong with her, but obviously she was, it was something serious. And so this journalist said, well, I don't know what to do. So I said, well, the pastor said, well, you just command that she be healed now in the name of Jesus. So he commanded that this woman is healed, and she gets up out of the wheelchair and walks. Now, this is a non-believer seeing the power of God. I'm amazed, not so much at that, because God can do whatever, but at the boldness of the pastor, knowing that all this was being filmed. And the backlash was, this journalist came in for a roasting from all his fellow journalists. Because, of course, the end product was not at all what it was supposed to be. This sort of critique of what had happened. And I was sort of reflecting on how God was speaking to us at the 8 o'clock about power and how, obviously, you know, we have to put what God wants to do in terms of healing in its proper context and not see it as an end in itself. But how we need to see and want to see more of the power of God. And God has been talking to me the last few days since the team conference about this, that what we see in times of revival is greater love and more power. But if you seek those things as ends in themselves, that's a self-defeating process. That the love and the power come out of our relationship with the Lord. And, I mean, what that journalist was doing was on the back of the relationship that the pastor had with the Lord. He was acting under his authority. Hello? And just doing what that pastor told him to do. So I thought, well, God has been working in our hearts and lives in this last week or so, deepening that relationship, clearing out of the way things that are counterproductive to what God wants to do. And so I'm just simply going to bring a very simple message this morning, reading some scripture mainly, so that we can allow faith to rise up in us, because faith comes from hearing the word. To see how God will, out of this deepening relationship that he is giving us with himself, we should expect to see more love and more power being expressed in our lives and ministries, both amongst ourselves here and as we go out in his name. So let's turn first of all to Romans chapter 5. It isn't that we need some startling new revelation. We just need to believe the gospel. Read from the beginning of the chapter. We come then to this wonderful conclusion. We have been brought back into right relationship with God and made completely acceptable to him through our faith in Jesus Christ. Through him we now have peace with God, and all the blessings of his grace are made available to us by means of our faith. Now, do we believe that? All the blessings of his grace are available to us. But how are those blessings appropriated? Through faith. How does God's grace operate in our lives in response to our faith? We stand daily in the flow of God's free gifts to us, and we can rejoice that a greater revelation of his glory awaits us. This is our sure and certain hope. Now, this is not just a greater revelation because we will see Jesus as he is. I believe it's also a greater revelation of the glory of God in the things we see him doing. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. That when we see people healed, when we see the supernatural, miraculous power of God, we are seeing a revelation of God's glory. Anybody breathing? So, this should be our expectation. When I say our expectation, I'm talking about each one of us. Not just saying, well, you know, if you're a leader or if you're in ministry. No, our expectation. The expectation of every believer. At the same time, we can also rejoice in whatever cost or even suffering that is involved in being faithful to the Lord. Affliction teaches us perseverance, and perseverance builds character. And we've had to persevere in all kinds of ways in recent months. And you see, what God has been doing is building godly character through that perseverance. And it is part of our character to be people of hope, looking to the future positively. Now, God has prepared good things for us to walk in. Now, he has prepared good things for each one of us, and he has prepared good things for Kingdom Faith corporately. As far as God is concerned, those good things include his glory seen in the miraculous works of power that he will do. Are we breathing? Okay. Such hope does not end in disappointment, because God has already filled our hearts with his love through his Holy Spirit, whom he has given to live within us. So this hope comes out of the love, and what God has been doing amongst us in this last week or so is deepening that love, deepening our relationship of love with him. You understand that at God's appointed time, Christ died for all the ungodly. He did this while we were still powerless to please him because of all our sins. It is a rare event for anyone to die for another, even for someone who seems a good person, living a righteous kind of life. How great the love that God has demonstrated in sending his Son to die for us while we were still sinners and unacceptable to him. We can be sure of our acceptance because of the power of that sinless blood that Christ shed for us. We should be equally confident then that the process of salvation will continue in the future, that at the judgment that is to come, we will be saved from God's anger because of Jesus' great love for us. So we're living in his saving grace, we're living in his love, our expectations for the future are all positive, that even in the judgment that is to come, we will be saved because of that great love in which we are flying. Therefore, we should expect to see salvation during our life. And heal, save, same word in Greek. When Jesus said, by your faith, you according to your faith, you were healed, you could say, according to your faith, you were saved. Healing is part of the saving work, of the saving grace of God. Amen. We can be sure of our acceptance because of the power, here's the power now, of that sinless blood that Christ shed for us. We should be equally confident then that the process of salvation will continue in the future, that at the judgment that is to come, we will be saved from God's anger because of God's great love for us. We used to be God's enemies, but now we have been reconciled to him through the death of his own Son. His death has brought about our reconciliation, so we can be confident that the life he has given us will continue the work of salvation within our lives. Such wonderful truth causes us to rejoice in God because of this reconciliation we have with him through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we are one with God.
Amen.
Right, so that's the basis of everything that goes on in our lives. I mean, we know this passage very well. We understand the truth that it proclaims, or the truths that it proclaims. But we have been reconciled to God. We have been made one with him. We live at one with him. We live in Christ, and Christ lives in us. And when we think of the implications of that, then we have every right to expect to see a lot more than we see now. Mm-hmm. And it's easy for us to live in relationship with God, to be preaching the truth, to be seeing good things happen, but without allowing ourselves to be stretched in faith. Hello? We don't have to step out in boldness. Except that God has been talking to us about crossing over and inheriting the land. And that's going to take some boldness of faith to see our Jerichos taken, to see the waters parting so that we can go over at harvest time. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, very well known, but let's see what he prays. We must always remember that this is a prayer for believers, not for unbelievers. Verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches you will be strengthened with power by the working of his Spirit in your inmost being. Now, what we've just read is all about relationship. We have been made one with him. We have been reconciled to God. We are now able to abide in Christ and Christ in us. God has done everything necessary to bring us into that saving relationship where we live continually in his salvation, where we are walking every day in his grace. See, the love and power are going to come out of relationship. So now, having established that relationship, Paul is praying for this increase or release of the power in their lives. But he is making it clear they already have the power within them. Because the power is in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is within them. And Jesus promised the disciples, didn't he? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the ends of the earth. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So this power is there within us. We'll try that once more. This power is there within us. And Paul is praying that out of these glorious riches, all of which are ours in Christ, we will be strengthened in power because of the working of his Spirit within us. Now, what does that mean? There's going to be a greater dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Because you and I can't do miracles, but they're easy for the Holy Spirit. Are we all breathing? This is so that you will know the presence of Christ in your hearts because of your faith in him. To Paul, this is going to be a natural outworking of having Christ in our hearts, the Spirit in our lives. So he then says, I also pray that your lives will be deeply rooted in his love, that you will be so steadfast in this love that like all those who believe in Jesus and who are set apart for his purposes as his saints, you will be able to comprehend something of the amazing extent of Christ's love. This love seems boundless and unlimited, and through that love you can be filled to the fullest extent with God himself. So we don't have power because God has given us power. We have power because God has given himself. Because God has given us his Spirit. You know, I would never sing that song, more power, more. Horrible song. Because actually it's not more power we need, it's just more of Christ, more of Jesus in our lives. Then there's more love, then there's more power, then there's more ability to take hold of the full inheritance that is ours in him. Amen. This love seems boundless and unlimited, which is, you know, how long and high and deep and wide and all the rest. He is able, verse 20, he is able to do so much more than all you would ever dare to ask him or even imagine that he would give you. Through his power that he has already placed within you. So if we believe this stuff, then our testimony is, I have God's power. Within me is the power to heal the sick. Within me is the power to raise the dead. Within me is the power to work miracles. Some of you look worried. This is a liberating, faith-building message. There is absolutely nothing to be worried about for having the power of God in your life. Now, of course, perhaps some of you look worried because you realize you might have to do something with this power.
Come on.
It's great to say I have it, but what's it going to require for me to be able to use it? Faith.
Come on.
And what's faith? Well, faith is trusting him and not yourself. If you had to trust yourself, then I could understand you looking worried. I'd be worried too if my trust was in you. But if your trust is in Jesus, what is there to be worried about? Now, I've just gone through a medical procedure. God said to me this morning, it's great that that has not diminished your faith in my power to heal or your determination to see me do more healing. Because actually this isn't about us. It's about him. And we're not in a competition with the medical profession. Praise God for the medical profession. And, you know, what good that can do in people's lives, especially when people don't have faith. But what can happen medically is limited. What God can do is unlimited. You know, some years ago, when healing sort of first came, was becoming much more common, there was a lot of debate about this, what the relationship should be with the medical profession. I was actually part of a sort of a national group of people. There are about, I think, four or five of us that had sort of recognized healing ministries in this country and four or five leading Christian doctors. And we met together a couple of times a year for about 48 hours and just talked and dialogued. And it was great to understand how these two different disciplines actually flow together. And some important things came out of that to help people to see, well, you know, faith isn't saying, I'm not going to go to the doctor. That's not faith. Faith is, I'm going to trust Jesus. Well, nothing to do with whether you go to the doctor or not. Are you there? Because there are some people that haven't gone to the doctor and died. Because faith is not in not going to the doctor. Faith is in Jesus. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's good. Very good. That's good. Very good.
I mean, a lady came up to me after the service when I was preaching on Sunday and said that she's just had to have some surgery and the doctor says that she needs some chemotherapy now. And she says, should I have the chemotherapy? Well, nobody else but she can make that decision. And I said, well, if you place yourself under medical supervision, then you need to submit to that unless you have something very, very clear from God that tells you something otherwise. And she clearly didn't have that. But anyway, that's a little bit by the way. The important thing is that this is not about our experience. It's about the truth of God and what he is able to do. I won't mention his name, but there was somebody who had a renowned, an internationally renowned healing ministry. This guy was used to do the most phenomenal miracles. When he died, they did a post-mortem on him and found all kinds of things wrong with him. And I found this again and again. People that God uses greatly themselves have issues they're fighting with. Why? Well, I think part of it is that God says, I don't use people because they're healed. I use people because they're people. And you know, it's not about the person. It's about what I am able to do, even through the weak, even through those that have needs themselves. If we are projecting faith for others to believe, we don't have to say, you see, it's the devil's lie to say, well, you can't heal anybody else because you're not totally healed yourself. That's like saying, well, you know, you can't do anything because you're not yet perfect. And it's not that. I mean, it's if we trust God and if we believe God and if we step out in obedience to God, he will use us despite all the weakness, frailty, and needs that we have in our own lives. I mean, if God waited until all the needs in people's lives were met, who would he be able to use? None of us would qualify for a start. Whereas God is wanting to do great and mighty things in and through us. We'll try that once more. Whereas God wants to do great and mighty things through us. So he is able to do so much more than all you would ever dare to ask him or even imagine that he would give you through his power that he has already placed within you. Now, Paul is making a real meal of this, isn't he? You already have the power. So let his glory be revealed in the church. Amen. And let those who belong to him live to give him glory. Yes, believers of every successive generation forever. Amen. Amen. It shall be so. Amen. Now, it isn't that God wants us to get our focus on healings and miracles. Our focus is Jesus. Our focus is his purposes, his revival purposes. But with the proclaiming of the gospel, there are to be the works of power. With the witness is to be the demonstration of the signs that actually confirm the fact that we are declaring the truth. So let's turn to 2 Peter. Chapter 1. We know verse 3 very well, don't we? That through his divine power he has given us all we need for life and godliness because we know him personally. He has called us to live for his glory and in his goodness, by which he has given us such great and precious promises. Now, we're going to pick up at verse 4. So we have become those who share in his divine nature and escape from the corruption caused by desiring what the world desires. Okay, is it part of God's nature to save? Yes, because he's the Savior. Is it part of his nature to heal? Yes, because he's the healer. Is it part of his nature to provide? Yes, because he is the provider. So God simply wants us to express more of his nature. Because the power is within us, because he is within us. When the Holy Spirit came to live in you, God didn't just sort of take a dollop of power and put it in you. He said, no, because my Spirit is in you, the power is in you, the love is in you, the joy is in you, the peace is in you, the patience is in you, the kindness is in you. Now, it can get smothered over by a whole lot of other things, which is what God was talking to us about last week, to get rid of those things that cut across God's best purposes in our lives, those things that are a contradiction to the life that He has put within us. That's what repentance is about, getting rid of those things that are counterproductive to God's purpose. Now, if you get rid of the negative, what are you left with? The positive. Unbelief is negative. Huh? Hello? Because it robs us of hope, of the expectation to see the goodness of God. Now, Peter gives us this succession of things. I want you to see how these all hang together. For this reason, verse 5, for this reason make every effort to add goodness to your faith. Now, the starting point is faith. Because without faith it is impossible to please God. There is no salvation without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That the grace of God is released into our lives by faith. So faith is the starting point. Without faith, there's no foundation for anything else in our lives, Christianly speaking. But faith in and of itself is not the whole picture. This is a mistake that some people have made. Say, well, all you need is faith. And then you get a kind of faith movement that is very rapidly gets out of kilter. No, because the scripture says, add goodness to your faith. Now, how can we understand this? Well, out of the faith we have, God will enable us to do what is good. In other words, there is to be an outward expression of your faith in doing what is good. That it's not enough just to have the faith. The faith has to be expressed in doing what is good. Are we there? Then he says, and add knowledge to your goodness. Now that's not knowledge about God. It's understanding what the will and the purpose of God is, so that the good things that come out of our faith are the good things that we know are God's will for us to do. Are we getting this? In other words, God will show us the good things that He has prepared for us to walk in. He will give us knowledge of those things. Then you add self-control to your knowledge. Now, self-control is not self-effort. Self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That is controlling all the things of self that are a contradiction to what we know the will of God to be. Add to your knowledge self-control. Right, now you know what it is God wants. Therefore, you exercise by the Holy Spirit that self-control for whatever is not His will. So we don't have to say yes to anything that is not His will. Are we getting this? Then you add perseverance to your self-control. You know the will of God, you know the good things that he's wanting to come out of your faith, so you persevere in those things. And you persevere in keeping self in its right place, denying self, taking up your cross and following him. I remember hearing John Wimber say that in his church in California, when the Spirit of God really arrested him and the church there, he saw from the scripture that they should be praying for the sick. So for 9 months, every week, every service, every time they met together, they prayed for the sick. And his testimony was not one person got healed for 9 months. Yet they knew they were being obedient to the word of God, because the word of God says heal the sick. So in determined, persevering obedience, they prayed for the sick, and it was 9 months. Then, of course, they saw a wonderful move of God's healing grace. I'm thankful that in 1963, when first time God ever got me to pray with someone, a woman was miraculously healed of terminal bowel cancer. When I heard John Wimber say, I said, oh, thank God I didn't have to take that route, that you were so merciful and so gracious that I got a winner first time. That was the Lord. But at that time, that was 1963, you didn't hear about people getting healed. Because very seldom are things like that happening. So, there has to be this perseverance. I mean, I just admired, when I heard John Wimber say that, admired the perseverance. Well, it's the word of God, it's what he says, this is what we're to do, so we're going to keep doing it until we see success. Praise God. So that teaches us something about perseverance in prayer, doesn't it? And Jesus told that parable, didn't he, of the unjust judge, so that people would persevere and not give up when they pray. You know, I heard somebody once say, it was a so-called faith message, ask and you will receive. And this man said, this means you only, if you're in faith, you only ever ask once. You never ask again. You know, this is what Jesus meant. This is what this scripture means. If you're in faith, you ask and you receive. I thought the only trouble is that the Greek actually means if you continue to ask, you will receive. So you see, you can get wrong teaching out of that, coming out of ignorance. And that puts a whole lot of other people in bondage. So it's important for us to know the truth, isn't it? Right, so we add perseverance to this self-control, and we add holiness, godliness, to the perseverance. Now, where do we start? We started with faith. And what have we discovered? Faith is a relationship with God. It's the fruit of all that Jesus did for us on the cross. So the love, the power, and everything else in our lives comes out of that relationship. And the relationship, not that we've got to get close to God. You can't be any closer if you've got Christ in you. How much closer can he get? The closeness of the relationship is there, but what about the closeness of the walk? Because the walk is daily depending upon Christ in us. So when it comes to seeing the outworking of the power and the love. We'll come to the love in a moment. But when we see the outworking of these things, it's because we trust in Christ in us.
That's so good.
Bengt also talked yesterday about someone recently, a pastor who was in hospital, absolutely riddled with cancer. He'd lost 70 kilos. He was near death, looked on his deathbed. And when he went in to see him, the Holy Spirit said to Bengt, just curse the cancer and leave. So he did that. He just cursed the cancer in the name of Jesus and left. The man was healed. And he said that the consultant held up the before, this riddled with cancer, and there was just one small patch of cancer on one lung. That's all that was left. And the surgeon said, I just can't explain this. I can't understand this. The oncologist, rather than the surgeon. He said, there's just no explanation. Unless you believe Jesus, of course. And the explanation is simple. But you see, what is that? It's doing what the Holy Spirit said. And the good thing, and what you have to learn to do in situations like this, is not to hit the rock. You see, there would have been every temptation for Bengt to lay hands on him and pray for him, but that's not what the Holy Spirit said. He said, curse the cancer and leave. When you start changing the orders, you are no longer being obedient. And that's why Moses was not allowed to enter into the promised land himself. Because why is God so particular? Because it's like saying to God, if I do what you say, it won't work. I've got to add something more to what you're saying. And God says, no, you do exactly what I say and it will work. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. So, and you know, I've told you of times when God has told me to go to people in wheelchairs and on beds and things and just lift them up and they're totally healed. Doesn't say pray for them. Never prayed for them. If he says pray for them, pray for them. He didn't say pray for them. He said just get that person out of the wheelchair, then that one, then this one off the bed, then that one. Never prayed for any of them. God didn't say pray, just said lift them out. Just take them by the hand. And four people were healed in about 5 minutes. In that way. Less than that, probably 3 minutes. But it is learning to be obedient. But now, you could say, well, God doesn't speak to me about these things. He might tell you to do these things, but he doesn't tell me. Why doesn't he? Why not? Does he think it would be a waste of his breath if he did? That you wouldn't actually do what he said? Or is it because he doesn't see the expectation there that you're ready to heal, you're ready to obey, that you're not just waiting for a word, but you're living with his command, heal the sick.
Yes, that's good.
What happened in Peter and John with that cripple at the temple gate? Why that day? He'd been there every day. They'd passed him many times. Jesus would have passed him on the way into the temple many times. Why that day? Well, something must have got released in their spirit, mustn't it? Do you remember that possessed girl that was following Paul around? And she was saying all these things that were actually right, but she was saying them out of a wrong spirit. And it got to the point where Paul just had enough and he turned around and Paul had had enough. Why didn't he do it before? See, sometimes we just have to step over a line and do it. And the Holy Spirit within you is saying, yeah, come on, go for it, go for it, go for it. Yeah. Do you believe the Holy Spirit is real? And I believe the Spirit says, yeah. He doesn't say, oh, be filled with joy, Colin, because I've worked through you. I think the Holy Spirit knows how to rejoice because he is the Spirit of joy. Amen? He says, yeah, you went for it. That's it. And I found that God likes to work in the most unexpected ways and circumstances. Well, you look at the circumstances and it's all wrong. You say, no. But then our faith isn't in the circumstances. Our faith is on God to change the circumstances. So I'm going to be talking at a conference later this week. Then we've got the leaders' conference next week. We've got the first week of term. We've got to see great things. I'm going to talk about it. Our God, now look, I want you to get this right. Our God is to be experienced. It's not that we want experiences of God, but our God is to be experienced. That's why he lives within you. You can't have love without experiencing love. And if we have power, God wants us to experience, not just the power, you know, because you can't feel the power. I mean, I'm full of power now, but I can't feel it. You know, it's not, oh, God, Lord, let me feel you. Ooh, ah, you know. It doesn't sort of work like that, really, does it? Oh, come along, fill me with the power. Now, you see, what these scriptures say is you have the power. You have the anointing of the Holy One. Yes. Now stop holding me up and we'll get this finished. So add friendship for the brethren to your holiness. Right now, this is the context in which God is going to express himself. And to that friendship, add God's love.
We are the household of faith. We are the family of faith. In other words, we're all in this together. It's not a question of, okay, let's see what you can do. No, it's what believing together we will see God do. For these qualities abound in you, that they will prevent you from being ineffective and unproductive in your relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these things is blind and has forgotten that his past sins have been forgiven. Now I want you to go back to Ephesians 3, just as we finish. And we're going to look just what Paul says earlier in the chapter, verse 7. God called me to be a servant of this gospel and gave me his grace so that he would work powerfully through me. I consider myself less than the very lowest of God's people, yet he gave me such grace. He enabled me to preach the gospel to the Gentile nations, telling them of the immense riches of Christ. I have been able to explain to everyone those things formerly remained hidden in the purposes of God, who created everything. His plan has always been that now this is the verse we've got to get hold of, right? His plan has always been that now his great wisdom should be revealed through the church, his people, that the church should declare these truths even to the heavenly rulers and authorities. God said to me this morning, you've got to up your game. You've got to increase your vision. It's great to have vision for revival, for a generation. But my purposes are higher than that. My purposes are that not only do you see a move of my spirit here on earth, but my spirit moves among you in such a way that your life together is a declaration to the spiritual authorities and powers in heavenly places. That what God does amongst us is not produce good services and a nice church, but we are a declaration to the spiritual authorities and powers of who Christ is, of his authority, of his power, of his love, of his saving grace. And we came through a period last year where there was a strong attack by the negative rulers and authorities against Kingdom Faith. And by the grace of God, the mighty warrior led us through that. Amen. Why? Because he knows, or he knew, that what God is calling us to is to be a declaration even to authorities and powers of who Christ is. And he could not prevent that. He will not be able to hinder that. We are moving forward in the purposes of God, and nothing in the whole of creation will be able to prevent that from happening. And that's not just creation of this earth, but creation in heavenly place. Nothing is going to prevent or hinder the plans and purposes of God for our lives. So God wants to take out of your mind and your heart all those caveats. What's a caveat? Yes, but. There are no yes, buts. Amen. And we stand in all this together. Because, of course, the power
is demonstrated by the outworking of authority. Curse the cancer and leave. That's the exercise of authority. Why could that journalist be used in that way? Because he actually did what the pastor told him to do. He submitted to the authority. He placed himself under the authority of the pastor. So what the pastor could have done was actually manifested through someone who didn't even believe, because he submitted to the authority of the pastor. That's a wonderful example of how anointing works in practice. And how, because we are part of a corporate anointing, we can expect God to see, we can expect to see God doing much greater things than we would ever expect if we were just individual believers on our own. That if we are submitted to his authority in the body, we will see the power of God working through the body. Amen. And this is a message for the whole of Kingdom Faith, not just for here. And it's not just for Kingdom Faith, it's for all who will download this. It's a word for every church. Because God, when these scriptures were written, did not have just Kingdom Faith in mind. He had his church in mind. The whole body of Christ in mind. So there's got to be a return to biblical values. Now, that's biblical values of holiness and righteousness and all of that. But it's also the biblical values of faith, of God's authority, of God's power, of the way in which God wants to demonstrate his love among his people. So it's exciting, isn't it? You see, the only problem really is you have to get over that barrier. Will it work for me? If I step out in faith, will I get egg on my face? Will I look foolish? Well, has God called you to look foolish? If you are obeying what he has told you to do, do you think he would ever tell you to do something that wouldn't work? According to my Bible, whatever he says works. And when people do what he says, it always works. So it's been too comfortable around here, really. Because you can rejoice at what God's doing in you and working in you and refining you and purifying you and more in a deeper relationship and bum, bum, bum. Yes, oh, wonderful Lord, yes. Thank you for all that you're working in me. And then he says, right, now. See, it was like that with the first disciples. You know, you can imagine them being around Jesus, seeing the miracles, listening to him, seeing the people say, oh, wonderful, what authority. Where did he get this authority from? Nobody's ever taught like this, man. Look at these miracles. And then there came the day and Jesus said, now you go and do it. Huh? And they didn't even have the Holy Spirit living in them. The Holy Spirit went with them, but they didn't have the Spirit in them. Like we do. And then he said to the 72, now you go and do it. And with the 72, he said, you heal first, then you preach. Huh? But we're not even one of the 12. We're not even apostles.
Go.
And Ananias, you know? Saul of Tarsus. Coming to Damascus to persecute them and imprison them. And God says to him, go and heal him. Him? He's here to kill us. Go! So I think it would be good if everybody had a testimony book where you write down the great things that God does through you. Not to brag and boast, not to publish. But you see, even to set aside a book is a statement of faith in itself. Well, this book is not going to remain empty. Now, whether you have a little book or a big book will depend upon the measure of your faith. Whether it's got 3 pages or 300. But you might want to start with a little book that you fill, then you need a bigger book. But can you understand what I'm saying? That it's the expectation. Yeah, God is going to use me. I'm going to have my testimony of God, the things that God has done. And listen, they're not necessarily what we would say major miracles, like the healing of cancers. Any way in which God touches another life with his supernatural power through our faith is a work that glorifies God. Let me tell you, somebody with a bad cold is very glad if suddenly the cold goes.
Very
good. You know, when I was teaching people about this, I used to say to them, look, you know that faith moves mountains. Right? But don't start with Everest, start with a hillock. Learn to move small hills, then you move big mountains, you know. Don't think you've got to wait to see a mighty big thing happen. No, just address the things that God causes to come across your experience day by day. And have that expectation that my faith is going to move situations by the grace of God. Amen? Let's all stand. Praise God. You see, there's just a little lack of excitement in the room this morning. Whereas actually this is a very exciting message. I mean, if you think of the implications of the outworking of this message, this is very exciting. So I want you to try to get excited now and thank God for all that you're going to see in these coming weeks and months. And thank the Lord that it's not down to you, it's down to Him. Right? That your trust is in Him so that He will work. And He will do it. Not you will do it, but you will move out in a faith, in obedience, in His name. And whatever you do in His name will give glory to the Father. Hallelujah. The things you say, the authority with which you say them, things are going to change in people's lives because you will simply speak God's word into their life. Miracles will happen. Healings will happen. Whether you pray for them or whether you don't, simply by bringing the word that God speaks with authority into their lives. Come on, let's lift our hands and praise Him. We thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the authority that you have given. Thank you
that you want what happens here in Kingdom Faith to be a declaration to the authorities and powers in heavenly places. Thank you, Lord, that all heaven is going to know what you are doing around here. Yes, we thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that situations that have been stuck for some time are now going to be released in the name of Jesus. That there's going to be such a rising up of faith amongst us corporately that we're going to see one situation after another resolved. And we give you all the glory, Jesus. Come on now. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Purata paria zatu bakalazita. And Lord, we thank you for hearing these testimonies of what you've been doing in other places. But we thank you. You want every one of us to have our own testimonies of what you do in our own lives, in our own experience. And we just give you glory, Lord. Hallelujah. And Lord, we thank you not only for the major miracles, we thank you for the little things, the signs that actually are a sign to that person who receives something from you, of your love, of your mercy, of your grace, of your care for them. And we just give you glory, Jesus. We praise you so much. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Purala bazata baya zatu bakalazito ba. Balataparia zituri saratabaria ledo bakalazinoma. Balataparia zituri saratabaria zatuba. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, we know it's not by our own might or power, but it's by your Spirit. And Lord, most of us here laid our bodies and our lives on the altar a few days ago in a fresh way. And we thank you, Lord, that when you moved in our lives to encourage us to do that, you had in mind the powerful ways in which you would work through us and among us as a result. That in your foreknowledge, you knew what was going to follow. So we thank you, Lord, that out of the depth of relationship, the deepening of that relationship with you is going to come a greater release of your love and of your power amongst us. And we give you the honor and the praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. I just believe the Lord is saying, if you have authority and you don't speak and command, then you waste the authority that you have. If you have faith and you don't exercise that faith, you waste the faith that I have given you. If you have power and you don't use that power, you waste the power that I have put within you. If you have love and don't express that love, you waste the love I have poured into your heart by the Holy Spirit. And I haven't called you to be a waster. I've called you to be fruitful. I have called you and chosen you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give it to you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's just thank the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.